Turn now to Joel chapter 2, page 931 in your Scofield Bible. Joel chapter 2, page 931. We'll be reading the first four verses. These verses we'll read responsively, giving our attention especially to the third verse, the text verse for this morning's message. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations, in this text verse. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. And let's pray. Father, thank you once again for a morning service at the First Baptist Church of Hammond. There have been many like services through the years. There are those who are old-timers, and we've seen a lot of Sunday mornings at this church. We've never gone away from this place disappointed or empty. We thank you for the preacher you've given us, for that which you've given him to teach us, help us, and exhort us. We pray that this Sunday morning will be as the others, and yet different, because our needs are different. There are those who've been with us only a short time. They need something from thee, as well as those of us who have been here many years. Bless us together. Envelop us in thy arms of blessing, and help us to return to our homes once again, filled with the goodness of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
That means that the Lord has more of what the Lord has than the devil has of what he has. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that there's more grace than sin. It means that the devil can offer you an awful lot, but whatever he can offer you of, God can offer you more of what he has. If I could pay you to listen this morning, I would. I'm not going to. You paid me to listen this morning. Not much, but some. But if I could afford it, and if that were the difference, I'd pay you to listen. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, the Garden of Eden, are a desolate wilderness. You are living today in the Garden of Eden, or you are living in a desolate wilderness. My text is from Joel 2:3. Without your turning to it, I read it to you. The land is as, notice that word as, that means it's a figure of speech. The land is as the Garden of Eden. It didn't mean it was the Garden of Eden, but it was like the Garden of Eden. Before them and behind them, a desolate wilderness. Now, if all you do is think about that verse, you got a blessing out of it. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them, a desolate wilderness. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning first that you'd give me clarity of mind, and may I have depth of speech, and then I pray you'd give the people a willingness to listen, alertness to hear what we have to say, please. Amen. I'll ask you to listen to me very, very carefully. I promise you that if you will, you'll find, if not the great secret of life, one of the great secrets of life. Now, I want nobody to leave. I don't want any young people to get up and walk out. No visitors to walk out. I want you ushers to be sure that nobody walks in and out while I speak. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Now may I say again that this is a figure of speech. God is saying, before you is a Garden of Eden, and behind you is a desolate wilderness. Let me paraphrase that. Are you listening to me? Let me paraphrase that. To go forward is a Garden of Eden. To go backward is a desolate wilderness. It does not matter what's in front of you or behind you. It is as a Garden of Eden if you keep going forward. It doesn't matter how good it looks behind you. It is a desolate wilderness if you go backward. Let me paraphrase again. The future is a Garden of Eden. The past is a desolate wilderness. This means that every step, hear me carefully, this means, please be seated back in the back. Ushers in the back, either get outside and talk or have the fellow have a seat inside. Don't just stand there and talk. Everybody be still now. No one standing around. I say it again, after 27 or 40 years, we ought to have that cared for now. Listen to me again. This means that every step you take forward enlarges your desolate wilderness. Let me illustrate what I mean. Here is a person young in life, and here is the future. Out yonder before him, it is as the Garden of Eden, and behind him, it is a desolate wilderness. Now that person keeps on living. Now then, what was a Garden of Eden right here yesterday is now a desolate wilderness. For example, here's a grade schooler. He looks at junior high, and he says, boy, that looks great over there. It's a Garden of Eden. Now, when he gets in the junior high years and gets past that and goes up to high school years, he looks back. If he goes back to junior high, what looked like to him from grade school to be a Garden of Eden now will be a desolate wilderness. Consequently, God is saying, if you go forward in life, you're going toward the Garden of Eden. If you go backward, you're going toward the desolate wilderness. Now, that means, as I said a while ago, the desolate wilderness increases and the Garden of Eden decreases as you live your life. You people that are 50 years old want to act like a 25-year-old. You're going to find that's a desolate wilderness. You're going to find you're going to fall with those high-heeled shoes after a while, ladies. What was a Garden of Eden, once you pass it, still, the Garden of Eden is in front of you. But any time you decide to go backwards in life and recapture what you've already lived, you'll find it's a desolate wilderness when you go back. Let me give you an example. In 1951, Mrs. Hiles and I heard that we were going to have a baby. Well, she was the one that we voted to have it. And we heard that a baby was coming. Now, back in those days, you couldn't figure out what the baby was before it was born. And I still wouldn't. I'll be quite frank with you. I'd rather have it as a surprise. I don't like this modern generation. I'll have to go back to the desolate wilderness myself. Glad you're listening. But anyway, we heard that a baby was coming. And boy, before us was a Garden of Eden. Man, we couldn't wait till the baby came. We didn't know whether it was going to be a boy or a girl. That's back in the days when there were only boys and girls in America. Now you got male, female, and Q for queer, you know. I went a little parsonage out on Highway 43 outside Marshall, Texas, and I went to work. I worked. I worked for about a week. Didn't like it, so I started preaching for a living. But I went to work. I papered the back bedroom with wallpaper that had little pussy willows and kittens climbing on those pussy willows. And I built a little a bassinet, and here was the bassinet, and I built a pulpit right there at the edge of the bassinet so I could preach to our baby as soon as the baby was born. She was like audience about like some of you. She wasn't very listening very well. But I worked and made that back bedroom into a little beautiful a room for the baby, a little nursery. And we bought little dresses and little blue jeans, in case it was a boy, dresses. We're going to name it Dennis Rodman. And in case it was a girl, we bought dresses for the girl. And in case it's a boy, if it was Becky, we're going to have little dresses. And we waited and waited. Finally, we looked forward and looked forward. And then Becky came. And the first Sunday, his house was had a tough time delivery, and so but I took Becky to the nursery the first Sunday, and put her in a little country church nursery there, and we were in the Garden of Eden. Now then, they're all grown, and bless God, every time I pass the nursery and look and see none of mine in there, I say, hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord, amen. See, it looked like the Garden of Eden back yonder years ago, but looking back, brother, it looks like a desolate wilderness, I tell you. Every time I go out the parking lot and I see some lady walking out with a baby on one arm, baby on the other arm, another baby on one hip, another baby on the other hip, and a diaper bag hanging around her neck, I say, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord. You see what I'm trying to say? It was a Garden of Eden looking forward to it, but brother, when you get our age, it is a desolate wilderness looking back, and we've decided not to have any more. Why? Because we don't want to go back to the desolate wilderness. Now, the truth is, that's what the writer was saying here. He was saying, before you is as a Garden of Eden, and behind you is as a desolate wilderness. That means what yesterday was a Garden of Eden is now a desolate wilderness, because yesterday was once tomorrow. May I say it again? When tomorrow became yesterday, it changed from a Garden of Eden to a desolate wilderness. So as you, let me show you, Brother Hooker, get in front of me right here. All right, look that way. You look better from the back. Okay, now, he's older than I am. You can tell. He's older than I am. So now then, now he's already lived this part right here. So to me, it's a Garden of Eden. I can't wait till I get there. I've never been there before. Well, I can't wait to get there. So this is the Garden of Eden. But to him, it's a desolate wilderness. His Garden of Eden is before him. The Bible says before them was the Garden of Eden, and behind them, a desolate wilderness. And now for him to turn around, and come back over here, he's going to be disappointed. Because the second time, you'll never enjoy it like you did the first time. There's the enjoyment up there, Bob, not here. That's the Garden of Eden. Now, to me, the same place that's the Garden of Eden to me is the desolate wilderness to him. Look at me now. Look at me. All right, so walk up about 3 feet, Bob. Now then, look at there. He just made his yesterday's Garden of Eden to a desolate wilderness, because there's the Garden of Eden up there. And see, that's your trouble. You want to go back. You know, the back is a desolate wilderness. Just keep on going forward. It's the Garden of Eden up there. But notice his Garden of Eden isn't as big as it was. So he keeps on going through 3 steps more. I walk up here. Now what was to me a while ago a Garden of Eden is now a desolate wilderness. And there's my Garden of Eden. But what was to him a Garden of Eden a while ago is a desolate wilderness. Look at me. So he walks 3 feet more. He's getting toward his senior years now. He's about 72 years old now. And now, you see, all of this is now a desolate wilderness, but there's still a Garden of Eden. Well, you say, Brother Howell, if he's 72 years old, bless God, and his life's almost over, he hadn't got much Garden of Eden left. Oh, I've got news for you. There's a heaven after this earth. You see? I mean, boy, you'll go to the real Garden of Eden after that. Thank you, Bob. Now, you listen to me, folks. The great secret to life, or one of the great secrets to life, is realizing that behind you is a desolate wilderness, but in front of you is the Garden of Eden. Now, what does that mean? That means that the same place can be both a Garden of Eden and a desolate wilderness. It depends on which side you stand when you view it. Illustration. I mentioned a while ago, that junior high to which the grade schooler looks is a Garden of Eden. But that same junior high viewed from high school is a desolate wilderness. Illustration. Get this now. Don't miss it. The home that was to a college student a Garden of Eden will be a desolate wilderness when you go back there. And let me say a word to you too. The parent that while you were there, it was a Garden of Eden, well, not in your teenage years, but the rest of it was. But the parent, now that parent wants you to come back. I got news for you, college students. You just go back a while and that parent will call the college and ask us to beg you to come back up here again. Because it looks to them, they look back and say, boy, that was a wonderful time as our child was growing up. But you're grown now, and your mom and dad are supposed to be left for your present, for your spouse. and for your present life, and I want to remind you, all across America, all over this country, I meet former college students that went back home to the Garden of Eden to find that it was a desolate wilderness. Listen, the future is the Garden of Eden, and the past is the desolate wilderness, and don't go back and neglect the future by trying to relive the past. You'll find back there it's a wilderness, but bless God, the future is the Garden of Eden. That's one reason why I've been so happy in my life. I never have wanted to go back. Never have. Don't want to. Somebody said, would you like to be 50 years old again, a 50-year-old preacher? How old are you? 50. I wouldn't be that dumb again for anything in the whole world. Man, I've learned so much in the last 22 years, I'd hate to be as dumb as, and boy, you retarded, fella. And you'll be retarded when you're 72. But I'm trying to tell you, I love it being 72. What a tremendous age. And man, married to a 39-year-old woman. Isn't that amazing? Glory to God. I've never had so much fun in my life as I'm having right now. And I'm not going to get up here at 72 and look back and say, oh, I wish I was back in the Garden of Eden. Bless God, it's not the Garden of Eden again. Back yonder, to Jack Scott, that's the Garden of Eden. To me, it's the desolate wilderness. To me, there's the Garden of Eden, the future. You college students say, I just want to go back. Young lady, a fine young lady, sat in the office yesterday. And she said, I'm getting married in August. I want to know if I should go home for the summer. I haven't been home for a long time. I wouldn't marry her. Good girl. She's pretty enough to marry. Smart enough to marry. But if I'm going to get married to somebody, I don't want to be away from me the last month we're single. I want to be with them. But you see, their parents back home saying, to many of you college students, I love your parents, but they got a hole in the head big enough to drive one of those trucks through over there, or one of those truck drivers, which is even bigger. I'm trying to say that what they want to do is they want you to turn around and come back, and they want to come back, but you listen to me. When you take off for college and you said goodbye to home, you mark it down, it'll never be the same at home again for you, and it'll never be the same for your parents when you get home again. Before you is the Garden of Eden. I don't care how old you are. If you're 10 years old, before you is the Garden of Eden, under 10 is the desolate wilderness. If you're 15 years old, before you is the Garden of Eden, under 15 is the desolate wilderness. By the way, if you are a newlywed, just married, then break off with the old single crowd, and you make the best friend you've got out of that person that you just married. You make your husband your best friend, or your wife your best friend, and you cut off with the old crowd and quit trying to, sell your motorcycle. In fact, don't buy one. But cut off with the old crowd. Now, listen to me carefully. The home that once, as I said a while ago, was to a college student in the Garden of Eden would become a desolate wilderness. Not only that, the single life, hear me now, the single life may have been a Garden of Eden, but when you marry and choose to return to the single life, you'll find the river of life polluted and the tree of life transplanted to the future, and you'll find what you thought yesterday was the Garden of Eden will be a desolate wilderness. Listen, there's nothing so miserable as trying to find joy in the past. That child that made the Garden of Eden of your home with returning as an adult will turn your Eden into a wilderness. From the bondage of Egypt, him and I, from the bondage of Egypt, the wilderness looked like a Garden of Eden. From the promised land, that same wilderness looked like a deserted wilderness, if you please, or, as I said in my text, a desolate wilderness. Now, as the Israelites were in Egypt, boy, compared to Egypt, that wilderness looked great. On the other side of that wilderness was the promised land, and once they got there, hey, don't go back there, and that's what they did. They came to the door of the promised land, and they turned and went back, and for 40 years they wandered, and misery followed them, and they died in the wilderness. Let me tell you again, ladies and gentlemen, you look forward to your future, and you live today for today, and crucify yesterday, and realize it's over. And if you go back that way, you'll find it's a desolate wilderness. John Mark turned back to find the home that once was a Garden of Eden had become a desolate wilderness. Judas Iscariot turned back to find that what was once the Garden of Eden was a desolate wilderness. Lot's wife looked back to find that what was once the Garden of Eden was a desolate wilderness. Demas looked back, or turned back, and found that what was once a Garden of Eden was a desolate wilderness. Some of you people just got saved. You're going to look back and you're going to remember those days when you were in the taverns and when you were playing your rock music, and you're going to have some memories. Boy, it was fun then. Let me tell you something. Once you came to Christ, somebody came inside you to live. The Holy Spirit came in, and you will never have fun in the world again. You may go back in the world, but you're not going to have fun. Let me tell you something. What you better do is say goodbye to the old crowd, say goodbye to the tavern, say goodbye to the rock music, say goodbye to the soap operas, say goodbye to the Hollywood crowd, say goodbye to the old life, and realize that the only hope you have for the Garden of Eden is going on in the Lord and growing in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. The Israelites looked back and turned back. And what was once the Garden of Eden, they found to be a desolate wilderness. A few statements. You won't fit in the past. You won't fit. If you're 16 years old, you're going to look funny in that first grade chair. And if you're 20 years old, you're going to look funny in the high school. And if you're just married, you're going to look funny in the single crowd. Now, I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Don't destroy the memories of yesterday by going back there. Have wonderful memories. Thank God I enjoyed my childhood. I was a happy child. I enjoyed my childhood. When I became a teenager, I enjoyed my teen years. When I became a young adult, I enjoyed my young adult years. And I said a while ago, I'm having the time of my life. I wouldn't be 50 again. Look what I'd be if I was 50 years old. Worse than that, look what I'd be here. Look what I'd be if I was 80 like he looks like he is. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, hey, tomorrow's the Garden of Eden, not yesterday. Before you's the Garden of Eden, not behind you. I'll quote this song every Sunday. I'm pressing on the upward way by cracky. That's not in the song, but... Oh, if I could just reach out and grab you and tell you yesterday is dead. The memories of yesterday are alive and happy and wonderful. But don't go back over there. It's desolation. And what in your memory is the Garden of Eden will become a desolate wilderness. And you'll never remember yesterday as you do today. So I'm simply saying, keep on going forward. I said, you won't fit in the past. You and yesterday, listen to me, you and yesterday are not compatible. Yesterday hasn't changed. You have. And so you'll not be comfortable again running with yesterday. You are made for tomorrow. And you have changed so much you no longer fit in yesterday. You're only suited for the future. You are being prepared today for tomorrow. Hebrews 11:15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. When you get in college, you forget, you pull a curtain down. You love your mom? Boy, I'm going to make some moms and dads unhappy with me, but I'm willing to make 1,000 unhappy to make some of you folks have a rich life in the future. You pull the curtain down. You're not a child anymore. You're an adult. You can't go back and get tucked in bed like you used to be. You can't go back to bottling a nipple and eating pablum like you used to. I'm saying you're now an adult. You say, bless God, I love my parents, had a wonderful time, a wonderful childhood, a wonderful adolescence, but I'm grown now. You young married couples, let me say a word to you, parents of young married couples. Keep your cotton picking hands out of their business. Especially you mamas whose sons are married to wives that can't cook. I have a sermon where I say that Jesus turned the devil said that Jesus turned the rocks into bread. I said, that's no great miracle. We've got a church full of young ladies that turn bread into rocks every morning for breakfast. Let your son eat those rocks and keep your nose out of their business. I can tell you in this room right now, that many, maybe more than that, marriages that have been ruined and wrecked because mom and dad want to go back to yesterday. Hey, it's a desolate wilderness back there. Mom and dad, they're gone. Live it up. Ms. Howes, I've never had so much fun. We got rid of those breath. I mean, our children grew up and departed. I have wonderful memories. Take Cindy. What a joy. What a wonderful daughter she's been. We have wonderful memories about that. But don't you send her home, son. I know you'd like to sometime. At least she begs us to come home. But I want to tell you something. I don't want her back. She was a perfect. Well, she'd made a D-minus maybe. No, she was an ideal daughter. But those days are behind me. I don't want her to come back and live at our house now as a 39-year-old woman nearly and destroy the precious memories that we had. And once every year, Dave comes home with his wife and kids. We're glad to have him. After 2 or 3 hours, we're ready for him to leave. Now, boy, to think about heaven is a Garden of Eden. But let me tell you something, brother. After they leave, it looks like the Korean War was fought in our bedrooms. We still haven't found some of our clothes. Don't look back. I want to say a word that a lot of you folks are not going to like. Young married lady, a few days at a time is long enough for you to go home and spend to your parents. Your husband might find a good wife while you're gone. One who'd like to rather be with him than mom and dad. Students have dropped out for a semester, never to come back. I talk to them all the time. You know why? Because they look back and say, oh my, it was wonderful back there. It was, but you go back there, you'll not find it's a Garden of Eden anymore. You'll find it's a desolate wilderness. I find them all over the country. Folks, quit walking around back there. Just have a seat. Listen to me carefully. Look at me. All over the country I find them. I promise you, some of the most miserable people I see across this country, and you fellows who travel see them too, are people that came to Howes Anderson College and didn't want to live for tomorrow. They wanted to live for yesterday. They went back home, and they have been, pardon me, I call them jackleg people ever since. Just like Bedouins or gypsies, if you please. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, before you lies the will of God for your future. Before you lies the Garden of Eden with the tree of life and the river of life and all the beauty of the splendor and glory. Before you lies so much wonder and so much beauty. Behind you lies what yesterday was beauty, and in your memories can remain that way. But once you go back, you destroy the beauty of the future and you destroy the memories of yesterday. Listen to me. So, yesterday's Eden is tomorrow's wilderness. Don't ruin its memories. Most miserable people are Christians returning to the world. The new nature will never fit in the old environment. And tomorrow will never fit in yesterday. Okay, so today you're not a Christian. You're not saved. But you've come this far. Watch me carefully. Here you are, an unsaved person. And you get closer and closer and closer to being saved. And this morning you're considering coming to Christ. Right now, there are dozens of people in this room who are considering coming to Christ. You don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. You don't want to die without hope. You want to die with hope. You want to know that you're going to heaven when you die. You want your sins forgiven. And you've come from back here where you didn't much care. But here you're sitting in church this morning. You've come all right to the very door of salvation. Now you listen carefully. You go back where you were and you'll never find it happy back there. This morning you walk down this aisle and cross over here into the new life, and I'll promise you, you'll live in the Garden of Eden, but don't want to go back over there. It's a desolate wilderness back there. Let me close with this. Sometimes I wish I had 100 members. This week, I got a very unkind letter. Not from a bad woman, but a good woman who just wrote an unkind letter. She wanted to see me now. Now, if you've got 100 members, you can see anybody now. But you've got thousands of people on my desk right now. I've got 156 names of people who want appointments with me. 156. I can't see them all right now. And sometimes I want to go back where I had 100 members. Oh, those were the days. Good night. I could visit one hospital visit every 6 months. One wedding every 4 or 5 years. Same woman. Every 4 or 5 years. It's always good to know you're out there. Sometimes I want to go back there. Miss Howes and I used to play tennis. I quit because I couldn't stand the racket, but we used to play tennis with each other. We used to play tennis. We used to have a lot of time. I used to sleep till 9 o'clock in the morning and go to bed at 10 o'clock in the morning for morning break. And sometimes I want to go back there. I really do. You don't feel sorry for me, but you ain't got the foggiest idea what it's like. Nobody in the whole world has the idea what it's like to pastor many people inside it. And I can't do it all. And sometimes my goal before I die is to have a church with 10 members. They're all millionaires. And I'm within 10 of getting those now. I was going through some old files the other day for pastor school, and I was going through old letters written to me 40 and 45 years ago from John Rice, Bob Jones Sr., Moss Sunday in longhand, numbers of letters from Moss Sunday. And I got a letter from Dr. Rice written about 41 years ago. He and Dr. Bob Jones Sr. and Dr. Lester Roloff been at our church for a meeting. Listen to this. Dr. Rice said, "Dr. Howes, there's a wonderful meeting we had." Said, "After it's over," Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, "Dr. Rice, who was that beautiful blonde sitting on the second row with two little kids beside her? I've never had anybody that was such a spiritual listener as that. Who was that beautiful blonde? If I'd known Dr. Bob Jones Sr. look at my wife, I'd have knocked the stuff inside her. He was about the age I am now. I would never look at a blonde at all now, except that up there. But anyway, he said, "Dr. Rice, who was that beautiful blonde sitting on the second row with those two children?" Dr. Rice said, "That's the pastor's wife. Those memories are sweet to me." A church out there on college campus, that building where I used to pastor, I used to be in Texas, where I pastored good night 48 years ago now. Wonderful memories. But there's no way in the world I'd go back. Sometimes I think I'd like to, but there's no way that I'd go back. Because before me at the age 72, before me is a Garden of Eden. And I plan to eat from the tree of life and drink from the river of life. And I plan to enjoy the Garden of Eden before me and not wreck my future and the memories of my past by going back where I used to be. It is a desolate wilderness. I had a dream the other night. I worked on this sermon and had a dream. I dreamed I was pastor of the Grange Hall Baptist Church in Marshall, Texas. And boy, I was so glad to get back there and pastor that church. You know what those people did? They voted me out. I was so glad to wake up in my life. And I woke up and I said, "Glory to God, I'm still pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. That's my future. I love my past. I love my memories. But don't you call me back there. When I come back, I'll find that what used to be a Garden of Eden is now a desert wilderness. But bless God, there's still a Garden of Eden before me. Before me is a Garden of Eden. And behind me is a desert wilderness. Now, you make the decision that you ought to make in your life today. And if you're not saved this morning, you're at the brink of it. That's why you're here. You're at the brink of saying yes to Christ. You'll never be happy again not thinking about it. Before you is the Garden of Eden. All you have to do this morning is in your own heart say, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know that Jesus died for me on the cross and paid the penalty for my sin. And this morning, I'm trusting Christ as my hope for heaven. Walk down this aisle. There'll be a man at every aisle, at the end of every aisle to greet you. And you can walk out of this door today, these doors today, a child of God. I don't care where you are in life. Listen carefully, I'm through. If you're 5, 10 years old, Five, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, I don't care where you are. Before you, there lies the Garden of Eden. And behind you, there lies a desolate wilderness. Several years ago, I was in O'Hare Field. I saw an old gal, about 85. Looked like she's about 85 years old. Dressed like a 16-year-old. Please forgive me for saying this. Her arms and legs looked like a road map. Had a miniskirt on. Miniskirt. Maybe 5 years old. High heels. But like a 5-year-old walking in stilts. They still have stilts. She had caulk all over her face trying to fill those holes and wrinkles there. Walking. She was miserable. Why? She was living in a desolate wilderness. But if she had gone home and made some cookies for the grandkids, sat down beside her husband and remembered the sweetness of the past without trying to go back and recapture it, she would have found that still before her there was a Garden of Eden. For wherever you are today, before you is a Garden of Eden. And behind you is a desolate wilderness. Would you bow your heads, please?